Pope Francis was recently asked his opinion of American Catholics, and he didn't hold back in his criticisms. But are these criticisms that he makes legitimate? That's what we're going to talk about today on Crisis Point. Hello, I'm Eric Simmons, your host, editor-in-chief of Crisis Magazine. Before we get started, you know what to do. Smash that like button, subscribe to the channel, make all your friends and family subscribe to it too. That's right. I said, make them do it. No more of this Mr. Nice Guy. Make them subscribe to it. Okay, but I do appreciate all those who do subscribe to the channel. So, also follow us on social media at Crisis Magazine. Okay, so recently, word got out that Pope had a private audience with some Jesuits, and he was asked a question about Americans and America, and so he gave an answer. Now, before I get into this, I just want to state one thing I've tried to avoid in this podcast. I don't want it to be a let's find something Pope Francis did wrong every week and criticize it. And if you look back at our podcast, I don't do that. In fact, I try to avoid doing that. There's plenty of stuff he says that we could discuss and debate and frankly take apart, but I don't think that's a good healthy attitude to have. That being said, there are sometimes I feel like, okay, we got to talk about this. We got to address the fact that the Pope is saying these things and how should we interpret it and what does it mean? So that's what I want to do today. And like I said, I'm not going to make this an all Francis all the time channel, but I do think at times we do need to address these issues. So before I get into the question and the answer that Pope Francis gave, I think it should be pretty well known by now. It's pretty much established that Pope Francis does not like Americans. He does not like America. He does not like the American bishops. That's very clear. There's a lot of things about America he just doesn't like. Now, some have said that's because in Argentina, where he grew up, where he was from, there's an anti-American sentiment there. There's this idea of America that's not very accurate. And so that's why he's got these prejudices against America. And that might be true. I'm not going to go into psychobabble and try to figure out exactly his reasonings why he doesn't like America, but it's very clear he doesn't. Now, I want to be clear about something. There's a lot of reasons not to like America. As an American, I see this very clearly. It's not that we're beyond criticism, the country or American Catholics. There are many things you could criticize about us. I mean, for example, American Catholics have, for at least my whole lifetime, been cafeteria Catholics. We like to pick and choose. We like to think of religion as a free market, that we just pick and choose what it is we want to believe. That's a real problem in this country. Also, America is pre-imperialistic. We export our values, such as they are, to other countries. We export our military to other countries. And so a lot of other people in other countries don't like us, and for legitimate reasons often. So I don't want to act like America is pure and perfect and American Catholicism is pure and perfect or anything like that. I think we are open to criticisms. The question is whether or not Pope Francis's criticisms are accurate and legitimate. Also, I would also say this country is very good in a lot of ways too. We are by far the most charitable country in the world. And American Catholics make up a lot of that. We do more than any other country to help out other countries when they're in need, to help out the poor and unfortunate. Yeah, we have a lot that we could work on, but we do a heck of a lot better job than most countries. So even with this idea that America and American Catholics should be criticized legitimately, it's one-sided to act like we do nothing right, that we're all just, everything's wrong with us. And I would argue that a lot of the criticisms that come against America from the Pope are typically stereotypes. They're typically not really based in reality, but just the stereotypes that other countries have of this country. So let me get right down to it. Let me get to the question. And so I'll pull up here on the website what he was asked. So there's some Jesuits asking questions. It says, Pope Francis, I would like to ask you a question as a religious brother. I am Francisco. Last year, I spent a sabbatical year in the United States. There was one thing that made a great impression on me there and at times made me suffer. I saw many, even bishops, criticizing your leadership of the church. And many even accused the Jesuits, who are usually a kind of critical resource of the Pope, of not being so now. They would even like the Jesuits to criticize you explicitly. Do you miss the criticism that the Jesuits used to make of the Pope, the Magisterium, and the Vatican? Now, his actual question at the end, I don't think Pope Francis ever addresses in his long answer. But I want to, even before I get to the Pope's answer, I just want to bring up the question's interesting because he said, things that made me suffer, I saw many, even bishops, criticizing your leadership of the church. Now, is this not allowed? Is it not allowed to criticize the leadership of the Pope? Is this something that is considered off limits to Catholics and bishops, that they're not allowed to criticize the Pope? Because this would be a shock to Catholics for the past 2,000 years. This would be a shock, obviously, to St. Paul. It would be a shock to St. Catherine of Siena. Notice he didn't say, the question wasn't the idea of certain types of criticism or anything like that. It's just criticizing your leadership of the church. Absolutely, the leadership of a pope is open to criticism by Catholics. In fact, it's our duty in some cases, especially bishops. You can criticize the leadership. You can't, for example, criticize a doctrine. If the pope declared something ex cathedra to be infallibly believed, you can't criticize that. Now, you could even criticize before he did it, whether or not it's prudent for him to do it. For example, St. John Henry Newman was critical of the idea of Vatican I declaring the infallibility of the Pope. And it's very frequent that Catholics have criticized their church leaders. I mean, we base this also in Jesus Christ himself, who criticized the religious leaders of his time. And so just this idea that somehow that's wrong, the implication is wrong to criticize the Pope's leadership of the church. And also, I just want to note that Pope Francis himself said he welcomed criticism. This is a few years ago now. But he has said publicly that he does not mind being criticized, and he welcomes it even. So this idea that not only we can't criticize the Pope, but somehow it's un-Catholic to do that, the Pope himself has rejected. He has made it clear that it is okay to criticize him. He welcomes it. And honestly, any leader, any good leader would have that attitude. Any good leader would say, yes, I'm open to criticism. I'm not infallible. I'm perfect. And when I say I'm not infallible, I mean that also to apply to the Pope in everything he does other than his ex cathedra decisions, because we don't believe as Catholics that he's infallible in all these other things. And so the idea that we can't criticize the Pope is not Catholic, and Pope Francis himself disagrees with it. Okay, now let's get to his answer. His answer really was a jumping off point for him to talk against the American Catholic Church. He says, you have seen that in the United States, the situation is not easy. There's a very strong reactionary attitude. It is organized and shapes the way people belong, even emotionally. Now, first, let's just talk about that for a second. There's a very strong reactionary attitude. He has used this term before, reactionary, I think, to talk about American Catholics, but mostly talk about like trads and things like that. He seems to, I don't know, but it seems like traditional Catholics and American Catholics somehow meld in his mind, which of course all of us here in America know that's not really even close to being accurate. Traditional Catholics make up a very small number of Catholics, even in this country. We're probably a larger percent of the church in America than in most countries, but we're still tiny compared to the overall church. And there's probably not one trad, truly traditional bishop. There's a few that are obviously more traditional than others. But I think he seems to confuse that. But anyway, he says the very strong reactionary attitude. What do we mean by that? And is that necessarily a bad thing? Let me give an example. You're walking down the street with your family, and somebody comes up and pushes your wife to the ground. What do you do in that situation? You react. You are a reactionary. Now, you can react in different ways. You can run in fear. You can jump between the attacker and your wife to protect her. You can call the police. There's a lot of different reactions you can make. Some are good, some are bad. Being a reactionary in and of itself is not bad. It's not good either. The question is what are you reacting to? Is it legitimate how you're reacting? And I would argue that because Pope Francis has done so much over his 10-year pontificate to undermine church teachings, to attack the traditional Latin Mass, to do so many things, to allow corruption to spread in the church, that I think it's legitimate to react to that, to react very strongly to it. We don't submit to bad things. That's not a good thing to do. To be submissive when something is going wrong is actually evil. You should react to it. When something is going wrong, you need to react to it. You need to resist it. And so therefore, the idea that we're reactionary, I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with the idea that we're reactionary, that we react to different things coming out of the church. I mean, it's kind of funny because do you really think we would react if the Pope and the Vatican were simply repeating what has always been taught for 2,000 years, if they weren't trying to change things? I mean, you'll see in a moment here, the Pope admits he's trying to change everything. He wants to change teaching. I mean, he says this very clearly. If he wasn't trying to do that, do you really think we would be reactionaries then? No, because there'd be nothing to react to, because he'd just be simply handing on what has always been believed, which is his job, by the way. So this idea of reaction, it's just an insult. I mean, that's essentially what it is. It's an insult you throw out there. It's a term you use that can garner up emotional reaction from the hearers, an anger against the people called reactionaries. You call people reactionaries, and now they're seen as the bad guys. And that's essentially what the Pope's doing here. Okay, so now he continues. I would like to remind those people that indestrissimo, I'm not pronouncing it right, being backward looking is useless. And we need to understand that there is an appropriate evolution in the understanding of matters of faith and morals, as long as we follow the three criteria that Vincent Lorenz already indicated in the fifth century. I'll get that in a second. But the word evolution might be a very bad translation, because we never talk about doctrine evolving. We talk about developing, and there is a difference, because evolution, as it's understood commonly, I should say, talks about something from changing from one species to another. And that's one of the big criticisms against evolution, is that we don't really have proof of that. But that's another point. The idea of a monkey, for example, evolving into a human, or a fish evolving into a lizard, or I don't know what the order would be, a lizard evolving into a bear, whatever. That's why we never use that term evolve when we talk about doctrine, because doctrine, that would be a change, a true change from something it was to something it is no longer. Doctrine, on the other hand, when we talk about developing, we're talking about growing, like a human person would develop, or a tree might develop, something like that. Now, I'm going to give the Pope a pass on this, because the translation might just say evolution, and he might intend to mean development here. So I'm not going to have a problem with that. But he does this, he brings up this backward-looking thing, which he's now become probably his favorite insult of the past few years, is talking about people being backward-looking. And essentially, it's anybody who thinks tradition matters. They're backward looking. And anybody who thinks that doctrine does not change over time, maybe it develops, but doesn't change from X to not X, that is now considered, that is backward looking to the Pope. So he uses this phrase backward looking as just a generic insult against anybody who is, who loves tradition. Now, here's the thing, is Catholics, literally our whole faith is based upon scripture and what? Tradition. And what is tradition? It's what came before us. How do you see what came before us? You look backward. So clearly, the idea of being backward looking, shouldn't be an insult to a Catholic. It should be a compliment. Thank you. I don't embrace all the modern stuff of today just because it's modern, just because it's new. But instead, I base my faith upon 2,000 years of Catholic teaching. I base it upon what was given by Jesus Christ to the apostles and then handed on to their successors and kept by them and guarded by them for 2,000 years. I look backward in order to go forward. I mean, I don't know. I know a lot of converts, and I'm one of them included, who one of the main reasons they became Catholic is because they looked backward to the church fathers. And they saw that all the silliness of Protestantism is because they reinvent the religion every year. It's basically like, okay, what's my interpretation of the Bible today? What's my interpretation of this doctrine today? But instead, what the Catholic Church does, it looks back and says, what did the fathers say about it? What have Catholics always believed about it? That's what matters. So yes, we are backward looking, but that's not an insult. That is Catholic, ultimately. Okay, he continues, and he quotes St. Vincent of Lorenz. This is one of his favorite quotes. He said, doctrine evolves, and I'm not going to, okay, I'll pronounce the Latin terribly. Ut anus consolidator dilatator tempore sublimator atete. Okay, crush me for my Latin pronunciation. My daughter got a degree in Latin, so hopefully she's not listening because she'd be cringing. What this means basically is progressing, consolidating with the years, developing over time, deepening with age. So doctrine also progresses, expands, and consolidates is what he then says. But essentially it means it's consolidating with the years, developing time, deepening with age. And so change develops from the root upward, growing in accord with these three criteria. Now, needless to say, the Pope very much, I feel like when I read the Pope talk about, use these quotes like St. Vincent of Lorenz, I feel like I'm talking to, and I know it's going to sound insulting. I don't mean it to be insulting. Okay, I got to bring this up. I just saw this in the comments. Alan makes a great point. Pope Francis calls backward looking, and he quoted a 5th century saint, St. Vincent Lorenz, to prove it. The irony there, let's not let that be missed. Pope Francis called us backward looking and used a 5th century saint to show why we are backward looking. Irony alert. But what I was going to say is, when I hear the Pope use a quote like this, it really does sound like a high school like debate person trying to throw in some proof texts. There's no concept of the context of what St. Vincent of Lorenz, the life he's living, the time in which he's living. If you read the church fathers, they are adamantly positioned to the idea that we simply hand on what we were given. There is no new doctrine. We don't add things to the deposit of faith. We don't even change it. I mean, yes, there is a deepening of understanding, but even most of the church fathers won't even accept that. They will just simply say, no, doctrine always is and always will be. That's why a lot of the Eastern Orthodox today, they reject the idea of development of doctrine because the church fathers, some of them did talk like that. However, as Catholics, we've come to understand, and I think history just shows that doctrine does develop in the sense a deepening understanding of it. And so this proof text of St. Vincent Lorenz does not prove what he's trying to say, because he goes on, he's talking about the idea of change being necessary. But what does it mean to change? Again, there's a difference. Okay, X cannot become not X when it comes to doctrine. You can't reject the core essence of something and say that is just that thing, but now changed a little bit. No, it's no longer that thing anymore. It's now something new. And that is something that the Catholic Church has always condemned, the idea that there's new doctrine, there's new teachings. Innovation is not a good thing for Catholics. We, again, receive what was handed on to us and we hand it on to the next generation. Yes, we might understand it more fully over time, but we don't change it. And we see how the Pope really has a problem with this in his next line. He says, let us get to specifics. Today it is a sin to possess atomic bombs. The death penalty is a sin. Now, this is honestly, I've noticed recently, this is only in the past couple of years, that Pope Francis does seem to think that he can just declare things a sin that were not sins before because he's the Pope, which the Pope can't do. Something that wasn't a sin before can't all of a sudden be declared a sin. So, for example, the death penalty is a sin. That's simply false. It is simply wrong. Also, the idea that it's a sin to possess atomic bombs That's wrong, too. Those are not sins. And I'll just state it flat out. He says, you cannot employ it, but it was not so as before. He's saying basically the death penalty wasn't a sin before, but now it is. But that's simply, it's just completely contrary to the way the church understands herself, understands her teaching. He tries to use the slavery example. As for slavery, some pontiffs before me tolerated it, but things are different today. And I think this is a fundamental misunderstanding. In fact, if we want the slavery issue, just read Paul Kingor's new book, The Worst of Indignities. He shows that the Catholic Church wasn't some big proponent of slavery. And also, there's a difference between tolerating something and believing it's okay and moral. For example, some church fathers, some theologians like St. Thomas Aquinas, believe it's okay for the state to tolerate prostitution. They never would have said it's not a sin to engage in prostitution. They're simply saying that the state could, for various reasons, tolerate it. Likewise with slavery. So the church didn't change her teaching, which is what the Pope wants to do when it comes to the death penalty, saying it's a sin. It's simply not a sin. Now, I'm not saying there aren't instances of the death penalty being executed, pardon the pun, that aren't sinful. For example, if the state decides to execute somebody because they're a political dissident, and let's say a Catholic, I mean, for example, today is the feast of the beheading of St. John the Baptist. It was a sin for Herod to have him beheaded, even though that was the death penalty of a political ruler. He had declared a death penalty on somebody. Clearly that was a sin. So I'm not saying it's never a sin to use the death penalty, but that's not what the Pope said. He said the death penalty is a sin, period, in the story, and it's simply not true anymore. And so then he says something that I, frankly, is the most troubling part, is when he says, let me find it here. Okay. Vincent of Lorenz makes the comparison between human biological development and the transmission from one age to another of the deposit of faith, which grows and is consolidated with the passage of time. And, you know, nothing wrong with that statement. Here, understanding the human person changes with time, and our consciousness also deepens. The other sciences and their evolution also help the church in this growth in understanding. The view of church doctrine as monolithic is erroneous. Okay, note what he said there. Our understanding of the human person changes with time, and our consciousness also deepens. The other sciences and their evolution also help the church to grow in understanding. If you've been paying attention, you will know that this is the language used by church leaders and Catholics who want to change the church's teaching on homosexuality. I know that the Pope has said things in the past against homosexuality at times, but this is exactly the language they're using. Those who are promoting homosexuality as not being a sin, they're saying that essentially science has determined that certain people are born gay, born with these temptations, and therefore it's not a sin to act them out. I'm not saying that's what the Pope is saying here, but what he's doing is he's giving cover, either knowingly or unknowingly, for the promotion of homosexuality as something that's not a sin. That's what he's saying here. Because it's just about this idea of science is telling us something more about the human person. The fact is that we have so much junk science today, like, for example, the junk science that tries to act like people are born gay and that people are... there's so much junk science today. I could just go on and on. I mean, the idea that the unborn baby isn't really a human person. There's lots of things science, junk science says today. But as Catholics, we need to recognize that science cannot say anything that would change our moral teachings. Ever. Period in the story. Our moral teaching is that homosexual activity is a sin, always and everywhere, no exception. Now, yes, your guilt in it can be mitigated by different factors, but it's always still a grave matter. It's a sin. There's nothing science can say that will ever change that. Likewise with abortion being always evil. So let me just keep going here. So I just want to say that's very troubling. That part is very troubling because you wonder how much he has been influenced by those around him to say that. So now let me find this. Where is it? I'm missing it here. Okay, here we go. Well, nope, that's not it. Okay, oh, here we go. He's right at the end here. Those American groups you talk about so closed are isolating themselves. Instead of living by doctrine, by the true doctrine that always develops and bears fruit, they live by ideologies. When you abandon doctrine in life and replace it with an ideology, you have lost. You have lost as in a war. And so here, the Pope is basically saying that American, you know, I like how he says those American groups you talk about, so closed. All he said was Americans criticize his leadership. And now he's saying all these insults about us in response. That's not somebody who takes that. It's like if somebody criticizes you and you just respond with insults, you haven't really addressed the criticism. It shows a certain immaturity, frankly. But he says, so close are isolating themselves instead of living by doctrine, by the true doctrine, which always develops and bears fruit. Now, again, true doctrine, I mean, it doesn't always develop. It's true doctrine that abortion is murder. That is never going to change. That is never going to develop into something different. Now, it is true that, for example, understanding of the Trinity developed over time. But there's a confusion here because moral teachings in comparison to, like, for example, understanding mysteries of the faith, moral teachings don't really develop. They are either, something is either right or wrong, and always either right or wrong. Yes, sometimes some sins are more tolerated than others, like slavery, like prostitution. But slavery was never moral. Prostitution is never moral. Likewise, homosexuality is never moral. Neither is abortion. And so when he talks about doctrine always developing, there's a confusion there between moral doctrine and mysteries of the faith, because mysteries of the faith often are so deep and so difficult for the human brain to understand, like, for example, the Trinity, that, yeah, over time we develop our understanding of it better about the humanity and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. That can develop over time. But moral teachings does not develop. Okay, so the thing I wanted to note there, though, he talks about, like, living by ideologies closed in on themselves. Do you know what I think that describes? I think that describes perfectly leftist Catholics living in the 1960s and 1970s. They have taken a snapshot of their ideology from the 1960s and 70s, and they have made that where we always have to be, that the church will always be stuck in that time. I don't care if the year is 2323, they still will say that we need to sing Marty Hagen songs and play the guitar and talk about how neato it is to sleep around and things like that. I mean, the fact is that they are the ones stuck in ideologies. Those who say we want to just simply live the way Catholics have always lived, that's not an ideology. That is simply a statement that we just want to be Catholic. But those who say, no, you have to live as we believe it's best to live, that we formulated in the 1960s and 70s, that is exactly what is ideological. That is what is rigid, as he would say. That is what is closed. I mean, just a suggestion that maybe we should look beyond Vatican II for other ways of advancing the cause of Christ today is met with stiff resistance, with ideological resistance, I'd even say, by Catholics who live still are acting like it's still 1968, which, I mean, based upon what this Pope says, that often seems to be him. And so I really feel like that we have, my reaction to this is that this is sadness, frankly, because here's the Pope. What he says doesn't really answer the question he's given. And honestly, it means everything. It means nothing, because it's his typical way of kind of talking off the cuff, where he says a lot of words. He likes using like words like backward looking, and he likes coining these phrases, and he likes saying things like closed and ideologies. But what does he really mean? I mean, that's the thing, is it's left open to interpretation. I think the most obvious interpretation is the one that is consistent with all his other actions that he has done during his pontificate. And I think ultimately, though, I'm sad because this Pope seems hell-bent on insulting a certain part of his flock. Have you ever heard the Pope talk highly about for the American flock, about how Americans are, you know, we do some things right? No, it's just insults. And it's not constructive criticism either. If it's like, okay, American Catholics, you guys are too much think you're the cat's meow and that you should dominate the way the whole church is run in the world. Okay, that's a constructive criticism I think we should listen to. But the idea that we're just simply ideologues, we're backwards, we're closed in, these are all insults. And this is not how a father should speak to his children. What father insults his children? A father can constructively criticize them, can tell them when they're wrong, but insulting them, just making up terms and different words to describe them, to demean them, what father does that? What good father does that? Now, some might say, well, Jesus Christ insulted people. But know what Jesus Christ did. He did insult people. You know who he insulted? The religious leaders. You know who he never insulted? The flock. He never insulted part of his flock. He insulted the religious leaders. Here we have a religious leader insulting part of the flock. That's what's so sad about this when the Pope does this. There's no constructive criticism. There's no thought of like, okay, this is part of my flock. Let me see what I can do to be pastoral. I mean, ultimately, that's what they always claim. Pope Francis and everybody who supports him in these things say that, oh, we're a synodal church. We're pastoral. We're always working together. We're trying to bring people in from the peripheries. We're trying to smell like the sheep, blah, 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 blah. And then all he has is insults for us. I can't remember a time where he has addressed the American flock and said good things about us, or even here's some ways that you can work on things better. Here's some legitimate criticism. No, it's just insults again. And so it can be very discouraging. But ultimately, we will not be judged by the Pope. When we die, as American Catholics, as any Catholic, whether or not you're American or not, you're not going to be judged by the Pope. The Pope himself will actually be judged. You will be judged by Jesus Christ. And so we need to cling to him. We need to cling to his teachings that have been handed on to us for the past 2,000 years. And yes, that does mean we look backwards at times. And yes, it also means we react when anybody tries to undermine those teachings. Absolutely, positively. We react to anybody who tries to fundamentally change the teachings of the Catholic Church. And we look backward to see what those teachings are. I have no shame in saying that. I embrace that. If the Pope considers that an insult, if the Pope somehow considers that somehow demeaning and not Catholic, I just don't know what to say. Because clearly every Catholic who lived before about 50 or 60 years ago thought that way. And I'm going to stand with them. And so when the Pope does this, I think what we do is we pray for him. We pray that he would see the light, that he would be a true father to us, a true spiritual father. And instead of just throwing insults at us, he would guide us and really teach us something, instead, you know, teach us how to cling to those traditions that have been handed on to us. So let's pray for him. Let's pray for his office, and that he would be a good spiritual father. I think I'm going to wrap it up here now. I'm gone about 30 minutes or so. I mean, there's a lot more we could say about this, but I think you get the point. So pray for the Pope and cling to the teachings of Jesus Christ. Okay, everybody, until next time, God love you.